Welcome to the Cross Border Tax and Financial Planning Podcast with Phil Hogan, where we discuss, demystify, and help break down cross-border issues. Now, here's your host, Phil Hogan.
Americans in Canada, here's some insights for you with respect to your tax returns for the year. So it was on the Americans in Canada Facebook group last week and saw a lot of posts about people filing their tax returns, obviously. And once again, apologize for the sunglasses here. Beautiful day on Vancouver Island. Just driving into the office. So people were talking about their tax returns. They were talking about, what they're going to be filing, which returns they're going to be filing first, and really how they're going to, maintain the flow of their tax return preparation for the year. And I understand there's probably less of a shortage of cross-border accountants now than there ever was. But everybody's still very, very busy, especially in tax time. And I'm always kind of surprised at the amount of people that, file their Canadian and U.S. tax returns separately. Either, they complete their Canadian returns and then the U.S. preparer completes their U.S. return. And I just want to talk a little bit about when that can work and when that might not work. So, you often get comments, kind of overgeneralized comments about, just file your Canadian return first and then file your U.S. return. And honestly, in a lot of cases, that can work. So in cases where you have very, simple tax filings, let's say you're employed in Canada, you have a T4, you don't have any investments, then that can certainly work. You file your Canadian return, you report your Canadian employment income, you file your Canadian return. So let's say your Canadian return's filed. At that point, you can likely just, take the information from your Canadian return or give that to your U.S. tax preparer. They can prepare the 1040. They can either tax the T4 income on the 1040, claim a foreign tax credit for the amount of Canadian tax you paid on that income. And then, or they can just simply use the 2555 foreign exemption claim and wipe out the tax on the 1040. So you really have two options with employment income or earned income, the 2555 foreign earned income exclusion or foreign tax credit. So that can work really well for a simple return. And lots of people have simple returns. And, that is probably, that either doing the returns together or filing the Canadian return first works well. Because even to this day, a lot of the cross-border accountants and the firms, specifically in Canada, they often only just do U.S. returns. I would say, the best firms likely do, both the Canadian return, the U.S. return, and all the disclosures at once under one roof. But definitely, a lot only do U.S. returns. Now, once again, that can work for simple tax returns. But as soon as you start getting into layers of complexity with investment income, let's say U.S. rental properties, really anything with U.S. income, then it would be very problematic to file the Canadian return first and then file the U.S. return. And let me explain why that is. So let's use an example of you're an American living in Canada. You work, so you have T4 income. Let's say you also have a rental property, let's say in Florida. And then let's also say that you have an investment portfolio that, as well as having Canadian dividends, let's say you have U.S. dividends. So let's say that's your situation. So in the first example, if you did just file your Canadian return, what would it look like? You file a Canadian return, you report your worldwide income on the return, you report your employment income, you report your net rental income. Let's say you actually do have net rental income and not a loss from the Florida property. And then you would report your capital gains, interest, and dividends from the investment account. And this is where it gets tricky, right? Because if you try to file the return like that and claim a foreign tax credit where you would have potentially foreign taxes or U.S. taxes on the rental income and the U.S. dividends, the question is, how do you know what your U.S. tax is if you haven't filed your U.S. return? And this is where people get caught. They file their U.S., they file their Canadian return. They claim a foreign tax credit often for the amount of withholding tax on the slips, which is incorrect. I mean, it can sometimes be the same amount. So let's say it's 15%. It can often be 15%, but if you're not in a really high income bracket, it's often less than 15%, which is the treaty rate. And then the rental income on the U.S. side, you have no idea what that tax will be. So you wouldn't know what that number is until you file the U.S. return. So you file your Canadian return, you prepare for a tax credit, and then you wait. You know, people might wait for a little bit and then file your U.S. tax return. Now, the U.S. tax return likely works fine because you're claiming a foreign tax credit really only for, you know, the Canadian dividends and the employment income, and often you have carry forward. So that's likely not a huge problem, although it's probably not going to be super accurate, or at least down to the penny. But the real problem results in after tax season, once the Canadian returns in, very often the CRA, the Canadian Revenue Agency, they'll review your foreign tax credit. So what they'll do is, once the return's filed, they'll send you a letter, say, we'd like to review your foreign tax credit. And the reason they do that, because so many foreign tax credit calculations that go in every year are completely incorrect. So they'll want to review your foreign tax credit. They'll send you a letter. They'll say, okay, well, you claim $2,000 as a foreign tax credit in your Canadian return. Please show us the calculation. So then what you do is you'll send down the calculation that you did, or whoever, you know, maybe the accountant did, with a copy of your U.S. 1040 transcript and your U.S. 1040 return. They'll get it back in the office. They'll look at it. And, you know, if the person that's looking at it really knows what they're doing, which often they don't, but if they do, they'll look at it and say, well, you know what? You claimed foreign taxes based on the withholdings, not on the actual amount of U.S. tax that you paid on your 1040. Then they would readjust, either kick out the amounts. If they're understated, it's not a big deal, but if they're overstated, then they'll kick them out and they'll just issue you a payment notice for the difference in the amounts. Anyways, that's a long way of saying that's why you really don't, in most cases or a lot of cases, want to file the U.S. return after filing the Canadian return. You really want to do them in tandem. So maybe it doesn't mean that the same person is doing the returns, but at least do not file the Canadian return, especially if you have investment income, rental income, any U.S. source income, don't file the Canadian return before the U.S. return is started or in process, because you're really not going to know what the U.S. taxes are for the Canadian tax credit calculation. And once again, that can work, but you know what I've found in practice, if the same firm's not doing the returns, you're going back. If you have a Canadian preparer doing the Canadian return, a U.S. preparer on the U.S. return, they're having, you know, potentially weeks of going back and forth with tax credit calculations by email and phone call, with a completely inefficient way of doing a tax return instead of having it all in one place. So I just wanted to throw that out there just to really underline that it's not as simple as, well, file your Canadian return and then file it and then file your U.S. return. That works sometimes, but in a lot of cases, it doesn't. So just be mindful of that. I hope this has been really helpful, and we'll see you on the next one.